Hey fam, what's up? This is part two of the two-part episode. Enjoy.
And see, you know what? And I had to cover up for him because he was being really emotional.
Yeah. He was too emotional. He was kind of validating their idea of jealousy.
Yeah, exactly. And what my thing was, I told him, I said, you know, I had a lot of interactions with these Greek dudes on college campuses, and I was almost a part of y'all, but I went to a party and I seen how y'all treated black women. I don't want to be a part of that. They shut the fuck up. I said, so secondly, are you guys willing to be accountable for the fuck shit that happens with people in you guys' organizations, i.e. the woman that's an AKA that was pimping her own sorority sisters, literally.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Pimping them out. Or are you going to be accountable for Kamala Harris? Everybody shut the fuck up. They shut the room down and we was gone.
Yeah, Kenny made that good point. Like, if Kamala Harris reflects positively on you and you take ownership of that, you're going to take accountability for X, Y, and Z. And Kenny went down the list of messed up stuff AKAs have done. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And they just you know shut it down.
I want to ask you about this, too, while we're on that subject. I heard a lot about, what is it called? A sweetheart or whatever, like the woman.
That's real.
What's the deal with that whole?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know somebody that said they were one. And
that's a hoe.
So she was the house, the jump on, basically. She's
pretty much a mattress.
They try to rationalize it. You know, even when I was in college and the kid trying to explain to me what it was, I kept thinking, so that's a groupie. But they try to give it.
Yeah.
I forgot the nice description. Like, it's supporting line brothers as they go through. But I'm like, this is not supporting like a guy who went off to war. This is a guy.
No.
You know, I don't know if gangs have an equivalent to this. I don't know. But it was just I don't think even gangs have an equivalent to that. Like, someone who's.
Gangs have. The sweethearts are real prevalent with the alphas and the. Well, actually, they're prevalent with all of them, but mainly the alphas, kappas, and omegas. And really, what it is.
Are they called sweethearts across the board, or is there a different name? I thought only one of them called them.
Well, they're supposed to be the Kappa Sweethearts, but every fraternity has
one.
A version of that.
Yeah.
And I saw this when I was in college, and what it really boiled down to was, and this is fucked up, it's usually black girls, these are young women, you know, 19, 20, 21, they're friends with these dudes, and they become enamored because it's that status. Now, the problem is this. In the deep, dark crevices of these girls' minds, they believe that once these dudes become whoever they're going to be, more than likely, they're
going
to be with them. And and also, these girls were not fit to be in the sororities. They weren't allowed to be in the sororities for whatever reason, whether it was grade point average, whatever. I don't know. So they end up being sweethearts. And the problem is this. These dudes, and this is what I saw on the campus, these niggas be dating white women. So then when they start messing with the white girl, the friendship between the sweetheart and the brothers fractures. You know what I'm saying? Because the brothers start caping for the white girl and making it like she's in the way. Get your black ass out the way. I seen this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, you either going to have to kiss their ass, buy them shit, or be a mattress for them. You're going to be a human mattress. You know what I'm saying? So, and that goes across the board. They actually had, that was pretty much what the gamma rays was in school days. They were sweethearts.
Here's a little more context to add to what Kenny's saying. Like, everything Kenny's saying is
so they get in their correct. Role is to go in there and get their cheeks clap.
Well,
the whole frat or just
they get passed
the
around.
Pledgers.
They're considered non-Greek, right? And they're called, I think, auxiliary groups. I think auxiliary groups is what they're called. And sometimes even the female Greeks will kind of judge you if you started off as that. You know what I mean?
So absolutely.
Some people start off as the auxiliary, but they're not all called sweethearts. Like, I think, and I could be wrong because it's been a long time for me, but I think the alpha ones are called angels.
Yeah.
I forget which ones are called sweethearts. And then
I think the kappas are the sweet. They have the sweethearts.
Yeah. There's different names for like different ones. And a lot of times, even the sorority ones will kind of call them like hoes, or if you started off as one, you know. So this kind of, so actually, you know what? I'll give you a perfect example. I just found a site of one of those people bitching about the disrespect they got. So I'll send the link. But she's like, stop calling us hoes because we didn't start off as Greeks, you know? This site is called Greeks versus Non-Greeks. Stop the hate. And it says, why do you want to be a member of a non-Greek organization? You're talking about the accusations they get from other Greeks. Why don't you just pledge a real Greek organization instead of being like an auxiliary? You non-Greeks are just frat groupies / hoes / sluts, etc. This person's trying to do a defense of it, but the more they do the defense, it just makes it worse. It just kind of reads of you're protesting too much, you know? So this site has all the supposed rationalizations that they try to use to you know, explain why they're doing what they're doing. But I think it just doesn't hold water and just reinforces Kenny's
and there was a brother that was in there, was an older cat, and he was talking about how, you know, even though they do these things, we should respect that they are a part of a group. And I'm like, I don't have to respect shit. Because the thing about it is, if you are not doing anything in the community, and I know this for a fact because I work in education. I work at a school right now. We could definitely use the Greeks down there to help these young brothers and these young sisters. They're never nowhere to be found. You know what I'm saying? They're stomping the fucking yard at Portland State University and University of Oregon, but they only doing it for status. And I said, a lot of times these dudes join these groups because they can't get no pussy. Uh-huh. They don't have access to resources, which I understand. But a lot of time is for self. It's, you know, I had an incident with this brother, and I knew his dad. Man, his dad died, and this dude he ended up being an Omega. And we was all playing basketball, and, you know, it was all over. You know, these niggas, when they first cross, everything they wear is the colors of their fraternity. So I started making fun of him because that's just the type of motherfucker I am. I make fun of people. Probably because I was provoking him also, too. I'm going to tell the truth.
You and me both. I got that same problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't really do it online as much, but in real
life. Nah, in real life, I'll provoke the shit. I'll make your ass want to fight.
I'll be messing, you know what I'm saying, with people.
Yeah. So I was messing with him, and I was talking to him about, because he kept on ranting and raving about, yeah, Martin Luther King wishes he was an Omega. And I said, wait a minute, brother. I said, wait, you sit up here trying to talk shit about Martin Luther King? Nigga, you wouldn't be where you at if it wasn't for Dr. King, regardless of the fraternity he was in.
Nope.
So why are you going down this road? So we started talking about job creation and all these kind of things. And I started talking about jobs, and he was like, well, if you wanted to get a job through the brothers, then you should have been an Omega. I said, wait, so you're telling me that you wouldn't help another black person get a job if they ain't a part of your fraternity? I said, nigga, you're a fucking leech. I said, nigga, you're a piece of shit. Okay?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want to cut you off. I want to make sure you're done.
I agree with that 100%. But I just want to be clear about the... Wait, I just want to be clear about the sweetheart thing, though. So,
Let me explain. I'll tell y'all later. I'll explain it to you right now, because I was refreshing myself while Kenny was talking, because it's been a long time for me. I'm not going to say how long, but it's been a while. But this is coming back to me now, right? Reading this stuff, but this is what it is. There's alpha angels / sweethearts, sigma doves, right? So the doves are the ones that go along with the sigma. The Q's have essence / pearls, and the Kappa have diamonds / sweethearts. So both Kappas and Alphas have, sometimes you say sweethearts, but sometimes they also say diamonds and angels. But basically, I found a really good blog called Black Greek 101, and it's refreshing me right now. It's making me remember all this stuff, right? But this is what was very interesting, is a lot of these organizations have official sister organizations. So the actual official sister organization of the Sigmas are the Zetas, right?
Yes, the Zetas. They all wear blue.
Yeah, they all wear blue. That's the official brother and sister organization.
The AKAs.
Yeah. So what happens is, you have the Sigmas, then you have the Sigma groupies, non-Greeks, you know, which are the Sigma doves. And then the Zetas are the sister organizations. It's kind of like, what are these groupie flunkies doing? And, you know, around us, so there's like a hierarchy, the actual real Greek sister organization Zetas, and then the hoes / flunkies of your brother organization. So a lot of times the Zetas will throw shade or fight with the Sigma doves, and sometimes they'll even like discriminate against you as far as like, it's gonna hurt you. Even if you become a Zeta, we'll always remember you as
it's the whole hierarchy thing. And not only that, and I don't want to cut you off, but it's one thing good to remember, none of these niggas have any power. None of them. Mm-hmm. They're not Sigma Pi Phi. There's a difference between the Divine Nine and Sigma Pi Phi. Sigma Pi Phi is the boule.
But within that small context, they got the power of getting like ass. It's like meaningless, you know. But yeah,
it's not like joining Sigma the boys club. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's not real boule. You know what I'm saying?
No. Sigma Pi Phi is the real boule.
Yeah, that's the real boule. This is just people fighting over, getting laid and
who stomped the yard the hardest. Sigma Pi Phi is Bill Cosby, R.R. Moton. I mean,
Roland Martin is
Roland Martin. Yeah. Webb Du Bois. Webb Du Bois is boule.
Oh,
Roland Martin is Boulay.
Oh, yeah, Roland Martin's Boulay. Oh, I found a good description. It's really short.
If he is, it seems like he's real low on the totem pole.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely, he don't have any control. But he's in media, so the Boulay they love. They used to do a lot of those meetings in L.A. in the 90s.
Also,
he used to be in the L.A. Times all the time.
Also, Roland Martin's having trouble breaking into Joe Biden stuff, but among other black people, you know, he carries some weight. I mean,
he pissed off some white folks when he was on CNN. Yeah. I think that's, remember that incident with him? What was that happened?
I forgot what happened, but I mean,
he tried to check somebody and he they got his ass up out of there. He ain't been back since.
Yeah, even if you're Boulay, you're still limited even then, because if white people want nothing to do with you, you know, all that Boulay stuff is not going to do a damn thing for you. Like, the Boulay just kind of gets you in front of the white people.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is all permeated through groups like the NAACP. It's permeated through groups like the Urban League. Like, all of that stuff is where these people are able to hide and, you know, become movers and shakers, and they answer to white folks. You know what I'm saying? This is documented. I mean, Joel Spingarn is who Webb Du Bois wrote Souls of Black Folks. In the beginning of Souls of Black Folk, he dedicated that book to Joel Spingarn. Who is Joel Spingarn? Joel Spingarn is some Jewish guy. He's a fucking spy.
Hey Mario. Oh, sorry. Were you still going, Ken?
No. I was just gonna give him some context, and you know, that's what these people do, is like, they don't have any power. Now, like, when you're in black and you're in media and you can control narratives, that's why they exist there. You know what I'm saying?
I found a great blog article from this site called blackgreeklife.blogspot.com. And this blog is actually pretty good, because this person's kind of being honest. They're not someone who has a chip on their shoulder, but they're also not someone who's over romanticizing. It's kind of surprisingly pragmatic. I guess they take advice from people. I mean, I guess they answer people's advice about how to go about navigating this. So somebody asked the person in the blog, "Fraternity sweethearts, will this help my chance of getting picked?" And what they mean is, they want to know if I become, it's kind of like an internship, if I become a fraternity sweetheart, is that going to help me join Greek life later? And this person gave a nice little history levels lesson. So they said, Alpha Angels / Sweethearts, Sigma Doves, Q Essence / Pearls, Kappa Diamonds / Sweethearts, etc. Depending on your college, many fraternities have what are known as sweetheart organizations. Prior to a few years ago, these organizations were maintained by the fraternity. Now they have all become incorporated and have distanced themselves from the frats altogether. This I didn't know. This is a recent development.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, apparently now they've become independent, which is even weirder, because now what's really the point, you know? But so now they've incorporated and become separate, but they're still not Greek. Back when I was in school, many girls thought that if they wanted to be Deltas, then they had a better chance by pledging joining the Q Essence / Pearls, which is the groupies of the brothers organization, the Qs. Let me stress that joining these auxiliary groups, non-Greek auxiliary groups, will not put you a step closer in becoming a member of the sorority of your choice. On the contrary, in some cases, it may hurt you. There are some cases where girls just want to join these sweetheart groups because they happen to be in love with someone pledging the particular fraternity or in the particular fraternity. For the most part, however, I have seen so many cases where women feel that they need to join these auxiliary groups in order to become a member of a sister organization. I use this term loosely, since the only true brother and sister Greek organization is Phi Beta Sigma and Zeta Phi Beta. The rest are like unofficial brother and sisters. How do I feel about these orgs? Well, considering my stance of being an alpha sweetheart, I think joining them can be a great thing, as long as you are doing it for the right personal reasons. For some like myself, it means helping the fraternity out by volunteering your services, which, okay, helping run programs, community servers, helping out with voter registration drives, etc., you know. But and it goes on and on. I'm not gonna go too far into it, but basically I had no idea that they've now kind of become independent organizations in and of themselves, which makes no sense to me.
So are they giving up ass? That's yeah, the bottom line.
That was a long way around to say
exactly.
It.
That's what I was trying to say. There's a lot of stuff like, we like help, but you can help voter registration without becoming this thing. You can volunteer for all types of stuff. I think a lot of that stuff is a decoy stuff to hide what Mario just said.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's sad because when we join these organizations, we are always joining them. So I'm not going to say all, because I know some brothers that's in those organizations that really put in work, and they didn't join those organizations to be somebody. They was already.
I know a couple. Hey, kid, yeah. I'm glad you said that. I've had the pleasure of working with a couple. Yeah. So I know exactly what you mean when you say
they
that.
They was already putting in work. But then again, and this is what I said in the room, and Mario, you know, because you come from the street. So if you in a gang and something happens in your neighborhood and you might not have been there, you know what I'm saying? But you're a part of that. You have to be accountable for that. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the way it works. That's what you sign up for. So if you join one of these organizations and the girl, the lady down in Atlanta is pimping out other sorority sisters that's pledging or whatever she's doing, y'all motherfuckers got to be accountable for that. That's a black eye.
Oh, yeah.
On your organization. Yeah. Okay. And I don't know how I know they probably ain't DPing each other, but I don't know how they discipline, whether they boot them out or what.
They do be doing shit like that. Some of the fraternities, they will fuck up their members.
And they should. I mean, you got people like Lexington Steel, that's an Omega Sci-Fi. You want them part of your organization?
Something that's weird too. I don't know if this is an official thing or what, but I feel like I remember. Am I wrong in that there's actually some male auxiliary groups that like men who? Because I remember there's some girls when I was in college that would be pledging a sorority, and they'd have these dudes like helping them. Like for example, Mario. One thing that some sweethearts do is when somebody's pledging online, the sweethearts will be kind of support to the guys pledging them, like get them food, help them as they're going through the pledging process. And I remember, and this was a really sad look. I remember there used to be some guys, and I don't know if they were part of an official group or they were just thirsty or simps or what, but there used to be guys who would kind of play that role unofficially to females pledging. And none of those guys would ever become these girls' boyfriends or whatever after it was done. They would just be like bringing the girls food while they were pledging the sorority. And they always had a look or vibe to them that was really extra simpy.
Yeah, for sure. But is there another one white fraternities?
Go ahead, Mario.
Is there another equivalent in the white fraternities? They got like a house mother or something like that.
Yeah, I think the white fraternities. I remember the white fraternities. They the white frats. I mean, I don't know the white frats. I don't think the white frats take themselves as seriously as we do. Because once they leave the college campus, they don't even talk about that shit no more.
Because you know what? At the end of the day, the white
frats are like a step up. The white frats are very low. You know, they're like a step up to get into the more powerful secret society.
The tangible shit.
Skull and bones.
Right.
The tangible shit. Like that.
But yeah. But also like their top credentials. Yeah. Their top credentials being white. They're white men. Like for us. A lot of times, this is something bigger than being black.
Well, you know, the one thing I want to come across, first of all, and say, I'm not jealous of anybody in any of those organizations. I find it embarrassing when I see a black man who's 45 years old at the job stomping around with gold boots on because it's his Founders Day. I've seen that before. You know what I'm saying? It's like, brother, if you want to do that with around your folks, that's cool. But man, sit your fucking ass down.
But that black frat thing or black sorority thing can be just as much an escape from blackness as those people who kind of over-invest in that second identity of being a woman or gay, you know? But white people, at the end of the day, white is always their top identity. Whether they're white gay, white straight, white woman, white man, white Greek, white non-Greek, definer of who they are.
If you want to find, I don't know if you can find it and put in the show notes, the link or something, but if anybody want to do a little more research on this, you can look on YouTube. Steve Coakley did a 2.5-hour lecture about Sigma Pi Phi, the Boule, the Divine Nine, and he talks with tangible evidence. He puts up slides and he shows, because he had a girl that had a professor that wanted to go on a date with her, and she got the Sigma Pi Phi, the Boule book. She got it and brought it back to him. So he goes deep into all this stuff. And what we found is that Sigma Pi Phi, the Boule, was created as a mirror of Skull and Bones. They even say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So who you think they're answering to? Not to no black people. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that was all, you know, when we was in that room, and I wasn't being disrespectful to them people talking about the Greek stuff. I was just asking questions because I don't think.
You're being pretty disrespectful, but you backed it up pretty well. I'm not going to say you weren't being disrespectful today. As you were, but it was fully backed up. You're being firm with them. Like,
yeah, I was being firm. And that's how I am. I don't know how to be any different because that's who I am in real life. So in all of those rooms, when that charity dude showed up and I pretty much started screaming on him, it was because I cannot tolerate disrespect.
He was lying too.
One thing is something I teach my daughter is that don't lie.
Here's a specific lie that he told, I remember. In their room, they weren't letting people come up and talk. They weren't calling on anybody. They only called you up if you looked like you were going to agree with them. But then if they miscalculated and you didn't agree with them, they would kind of berate you and gang up on you. Whereas we let everybody up and gave everyone a chance to talk. And we only kind of disrespected them when they got sassy. Because they kept because those people cannot talk without talking slick. They always got to throw in little things every chance they get. Right. So they do it on purpose so that they can trigger a reaction from you. And they can say, oh, look what's happening. So he's talking slick and saying, I noticed a lot of people were up here lying and I want to, he tried to like throw it in and keep moving. Right. So then people were like,
oh man, people were like, wait, see that's some,
yeah. They kept doing that. So, you know, I noticed a lot of people, you know, are misusing fake stats and they just like keep pushing and we wouldn't let that slide. We're like, no, say the fake stats that were being misused. You can't just say that and keep pushing. And it's like, well, you know, let me talk. I'm finishing. Goes, no, you're not just going to say that and just keep it moving. You have to. So then what the guy said was, you know, what I noticed is interesting. In our room, we had a spirit of conversation and letting everybody, you know, talk. Whereas in this room, and that's when, you know, Kenny got really mad because that's a straight up lie.
They were not doing that at all. It pissed me off because the sister, forgot her name.
Melania.
But she was talking. Melania. And she was explaining to them what they were doing. And they knew exactly who she was. But then you blatantly lied. Now, that's one thing. The second part was when they kept asking the same question over and I said, Rennie, would you please give this dude the textbook etymology definition of the word patriarchy? And he did. And then he even said to himself, OK, well, maybe I've been saying it wrong. Right. Which is that's fine because you're telling me that you were ignorant. You didn't know. You just got taught something. Right. OK, mm-hmm. So since you just learned it, why do you keep going back to it? Now you want to try to now what I see what you're doing is you're shifting the energy. I can't let you do that. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Fuck you. Get out.
Right.
And I don't want to be nice to you for years.
And there was a very simple thing
for years.
I'm sorry. Go on, Mario.
We've been saying for years that they've been mistaking patriarchy for misogyny. One of the problems that they have is that they mistake patriarchy with just plain old fashioned misogyny.
But it's not even mistake.
Now, if the conversation were about
Mario, can I just say something to contextualize what you just said?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not even mistaken, and I'll tell you why. And Kenny, you'll remember this, right? When the crosstalk was starting to happen, I tried to like kind of put my foot down and try to nip in the bud by saying, "Wait, before we even go any further, because everyone's throwing stats and data at each other." But we have to agree on very basic premises and looking up long definitions with three elements in them, you know, even that is going to kind of confuse things. So before we even pull up definitions, let's start with just one element. And if we can just agree on that or disagree on that, then we can maybe set the stage for the rest of it. So I said, can we at least come to a consensus on this? And I asked Charity, I said, do you think that patriarchy requires a system to back it? And I said that very simple, not five elements, but, you know, one element at a time. Can we at least agree on that? Because what I was trying to say is, if we can't even agree on that, nothing else is going to make sense. You're going to be arguing about systemless stuff, and we're going to be arguing about system-backed stuff, and we're just going to be cross-talking and both think that we're right. Kenny, you remember this. He was like, and he kept saying other stuff, and I kept going, no. Simple yes or no. Does it require a system to back it? And then he was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then finally, when I wouldn't let it go, he's like, I know what you're trying to do, because I say, yes, it does require a system. Then you're going to follow up with, oh, well, then black men don't have access to systems and this, that. And I was like, what I'm going to say after that should have no sway in your answer.
On you answering yes or no.
Yeah. Like, you don't get to answer yes or no based on whether or not it's convenient to the rest of your argument. That's not a legitimate reason to not answer my question. Like how does that look? I can't give you an answer because the answer I'm going to give you is going to help you. Like that. So that kind of shows it's not about mistaking. It's about willful ignorance. They're being ignorant on purpose.
Yes, absolutely. And they got exposed.
Yeah. So,
in that other room, they were literally saying, I hate black men. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, and the thing about it is this, man, and the type of examples they were giving, I'm like, okay, I understand you. Okay. So you guys been around some ain't shit niggas. I'm like, okay, but there's a nigga, if you walking past some black dudes and he say, I'm gonna squeeze your fat ass, it ain't like he can squeeze your ass and go to your job and say you fired.
Yeah. And it's not like if you call the cops on him, he can call in favors to not get prosecuted, you know.
Like white men do.
Yeah. Mario, by all means, continue what you were saying. I just want to add that context about why I think it's not a mistake.
Well, I don't know. See, you could say it's a willful thing, but I think that these people don't really have a grasp of the subject matter that they're trying to discuss, man, in all honesty. So when you say it's a willful thing, I think a willfulness. But if he didn't have a grasp, how could
he predict what my counter argument was going to be? He totally already knew my counter argument.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, yeah, that then some people are just being deliberately dishonest then. Some people are being dishonest when it comes to that. See, I didn't even pick up on that part of the conversation where you said he knew your argument. He knew what your counter was going to be.
Answer me about whether patriarchy requires a system to back it. And when I pressing him on it, I said, yes or no, does it require a system to back it? Eventually, he broke down out of frustration and said, I know what you're trying to do, because if I say it requires a system, then you're going to say, well, then black men don't have access to a system, so they can't then enforce patriarchy. So he basically admitted that his answers depended on trying to avoid. So he actually knew the whole argument and he's heard those talking points before. He just was trying to avoid answering it so that he can continue to he was deliberately conflating patriarchy and misogyny was what he revealed by
where do you get that from? Because if he said that, let's say he's listening to what you're talking, he can be ignorant as fuck, but logically he can see where you're trying to go with it, and he doesn't want to get trapped in that because he can see where you're going with it. He could still do that in ignorance. You know what I'm saying?
See, but if that was the case, this is what he would do. He would just say no. What he would just say is this. But when I ask, does patriarchy require a system, right? He could just say no, it doesn't require a system, and then nip it in the bud. Then I can't do the counter arguments. If his only option is to not answer at all, to me that means that he knows the answer is yes.
Oh no, man. I mean, we might be being pedantic at this point. It could very well be. You know what I'm saying? Either way it goes, whether they know it or they don't know it, both are equally damning. No, actually, no, to know it and still lie is more damning, but both are pretty bad. When you're speaking from a place of ignorance, when you're mistaking patriarchy for misogyny, rather you're doing it out of ignorance.
But if you're mistaking patriarchy for misogyny, then why not just tell me no, patriarchy doesn't require a system?
Because he don't want to lose an argument. Once you invested in an argument,
if he said that, like, he would win the argument. If he said patriarchy doesn't require a system, then my counter argument is dead. He would actually win it if he said that. He would, because then everything gets to go in the door. He can bring up catcalling. He can bring up everything. He doesn't want to be on record saying it because he knows it's ridiculous. He knows he can't say that.
Okay.
He would win the argument if he said that. You know, it would be like if I was talking about you and I was saying, hey, Mario, do you have a history of grabbing girls' asses at the club? And you were like, yo, I'm not gonna answer that because, you know, if I say yes, then you're gonna use that to paint me as a misogynist. And then why would you say that unless you had a history of grabbing girls' asses? You know, like, you can just say, no, I don't go grab girls' asses in the club. Like, why switch the conversation to why it would be inconvenient to answer that question? You know, unless you... And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, they know that they're full of shit.
You think they know that, man? I don't think all of them know that, bro.
Not all of them, but at least some of them
know
that.
Yeah, or at least they know the counters to what those arguments would be, and they just don't give a damn.
Yeah, but the counters to the argument become counters to the argument about why grabbing ass in the club is okay are null and void if you're not a guy who grabs ass in the club. Like, you know, like the counters to the argument about why, like, if someone was asking me if I diddle kids,
I don't grab ass in the club. I just graze ass in the club. You know, I'm gonna play semantics with you. I'm gonna just play a semantic game with you then at that point. But
you're in the ass grabbing spectrum. You know what I'm saying? Like
right. But you know, be that as it may, these people, they're so ignorant about these terms and shit, man. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, sometimes they really don't be knowing, bro.
Yeah, some of them don't be knowing. You know what I mean? There was a girl, Kenny. Oh, sorry, Kenny, you there?
They don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when they use terms like hypermasculinity, intersectionality, they were using those terms for years, not knowing what the hell they were talking about when they were discussing them academically.
You're very right. That's what
I'm saying. And so when they discuss patriarchy, oftentimes they're conflating it with misogyny. Now, it could very well be being done on the slick on purpose, because there's a strategy to conflating terms, because you want to popularize an idea. And sometimes if you can get a definition to mean a thing that means one thing, if you use it enough, it begins to mean something else.
Yeah.
Now this is the hilarious thing, Mario. You'll find this hilarious. What happened was, there was a girl, her name was Alexis or something like that.
Yeah.
And her and Rennie was talking with each other. Yeah. And Rennie was telling her where these terms come from. They didn't even know who these people were.
Kenny, that's exactly what I was going to tag you in to say. I was going to support Mario's point by saying that what Mario's describing was that girl Alexis. Like, this girl Alexis, she actually was very not well read and didn't know, and actually seemed to have just gotten into this stuff very recently. And she's an example of your ignorance thing. So you're absolutely right. There are people who are very ignorant, and they might even be the majority. This charity guy, I think, was someone who was
fits into some willfully different ignorant category,
and he was kind of taking advantage of the Alexises of the world, to me, probably to get laid. I don't know.
That
was,
but you see where the beauty of actually having live voice chats can come into play there, because y'all were able to hop on him about that.
Yeah.
If this was Twitter, you know what I'm saying, it probably wouldn't have went down like that, because and people are far less willing to be, they would have blocked you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is what I said. What I said, well, you know, on Twitter, what will happen is they'll put up a tweet that says something wild about black men, and it's like an octopus. It'll go in 8 different directions.
Yep.
So then you'll have somebody talking about a personal experience. You'll have somebody talking about a rapper or some shit. Then you'll have somebody talking about Meg Thee Stallion. It'll go. See, so when it's your voice, and what this girl, what she was trying to do, and you could tell she was drowning, and I kind of felt bad for her, because her only sense of foundation on these terms and on this ideology was books that was written in like 1982.
She read this book. No, not even 1982. Dude, one of the books that she mentioned, called How We Get Free, came out in 2012.
Wow.
And the person who wrote that book, you know, is a solid scholar. Like, I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about the person who wrote the book. But for example, Rennie was talking about respectability politics, and Rennie knows this, and I actually knew this, but I learned this from Tommy Curry, this woman Higginbotham.
Yeah, and which is a black woman.
Yeah,
right?
Which is the black woman in the 80s. But
and you could tell that they didn't know that she was black, because they were like, well, what color is she? Color is she? And Rennie was like, she's black.
They didn't even know that she coined it, because she was, Rennie was talking about people, and then she was like, well, actually, that's a white woman that you're quoting. And actually, black feminists in How We Get Free coined respectability politics. I'm like, wait, you think respectability politics was coined in 2012? And then Rennie was saying, no, that was coined by this woman, Higginbotham. And then I chimed in and I said, because she was kind of like trying to push back, and I'm like, to give you an idea of how known this is, if you go on Google and start typing in, and y'all can test it yourself, if you start typing in respectability, just the word respectability politics, by the time you hit the letter P, the first autocorrect thing that comes up is respectability politics Higginbotham. Like, Higginbotham comes up as the autocorrect. And if you go on Wikipedia, respectability politics, you'll find out she brought it up a long time ago, you know? And so, this woman didn't know any of this.
She didn't know any of it. And what this went to prove, and which when I got tired of even talking to them, because I could tell that they were just ignorant, what that went to prove is that this is all new to them. And they don't have the lived experience. This is just an ideology that they believe, and that someone has convinced them, because when you're young, you're gonna get influenced to do a lot of things, and I got influenced to do a lot of fucked up shit. So these people have gotten influenced to believe people that they're not even around, because they sound like they don't even be around black people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what's interesting? Tell me if you picked this up. I felt like that girl who didn't know much, because Higginbotham coined this in like 1992. It was like 20 whole years before the book that she thought created it. And like Rennie brought it up, Higginbotham was a black woman, by the way. She got kind of quiet as it went on. I think she even started kind of
agreeing. She started agreeing with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how easily this generation of people, not all of them,
and charity bounce.
A lot of these kids are being influenced into believing certain things, and then once they get the information, then they're like,
"Yeah, mm-hmm. she calmed down a lot. She calmed down a lot." And the charity guy, if you notice, he bounced.
He was just trolling. Yeah, he bounced. Yeah, what he did was he ran back to the other room because he was a moderator over there. He ran back to the other room. Okay. Yeah, man, you know they over there saying this, and I'm like, "Nigga," and saying that's why when it comes, and maybe I'm being biased. And Mario, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe because you probably do the same thing. I don't know. And I wasn't trying to bully anybody because I'm not a bully. I don't like bullies. But when I see that you're playing a game and you're a man, that irritates me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It really irritates me because you know better.
And Mario, he was giggling.
Yeah, he was kicking. Yeah, he was giggling, nigga. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I can't do the giggling.
He was giggling. Yeah. Like, you knew it when he was about to lie because he always giggled. Like, that was his tell. He was got a little bit giggly with his lying.
Oh, hell
yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, and that really, really gets under my skin when grown men do that. And that's when I just like, man, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. And I can hear people in the background. Oh, this is wild.
But
oh,
man, but they reined it in
this
after that.
This is what patriarchy is.
I didn't notice.
This is what patriarchy is. You know, yeah. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Get out of here.
But you know what's funny? Last night, there was another room like that at Clubhouse. And this time, like, I wasn't going to join in it. I wasn't going to do anything. I was watching a movie with my wife. But I said, you know what, I'm gonna leave myself in this room, you know, and you know, during like bathroom breaks or whatever, I'm gonna just listen in, because Rennie and Andre were in that room too, and Charity was in there again. And Charity, I took a bathroom break, I just a quick listen, I heard Charity say, yeah, well, you know, the other day we had this room where we were trying to build accountability and listen to Black women and show our love for them, and another room opened up. I noticed some of those guys from that room are in this one and
snitching.
Yeah, and they were, and he was doing that same, he was talking about giggly, you know, he was like, and you know, they were lying in there. And then Rennie was like, and Andre were like, what was the lie? Like, he had just casually say that, and then the moderators were like, oh, stop cutting him off, I don't know what your problem is. And I was like, you can't go into these rooms. But that's the problem with why they can't do what they do in Twitter, because in a well-moderated room, in their moderated rooms, they can treat that room like they treat Twitter, where things go into 12 different directions. People get blocked, people get kept from talking, people get whatever. But we had a well-moderated room, and we did not let things go into 50 directions. We called you out. We forced you to stay on topic, and they don't like that. They can't thrive in a situation like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You wouldn't
enjoy it. They can't control the narrative. Yep. They can't call in for backup. They can't retweet you. They can't quote tweet you, you know, hoping that somebody else jumps in to help. Yeah. Like, there's none of that.
Decontextualize you, use straw man. Right. Like, 'cause everyone just saw what was going on. You know, you can't, like, for example, one time in one of the rooms I saw, there was this guy moderating super respectfully. And then this woman kept saying, you know, I don't appreciate how the men in here keep cutting off Black women just trying to make their point. And it kind of shows how even in this room, this misogyny. And then like three or four other women who were like normal were like, what are you talking about? Melvin was a moderator's name. Melvin is super respectful, and he hasn't been cutting you off at all. If anything, you've been cutting him off. And there's been a bunch of us women who have been disagreeing with you just as much, if not more so than Melvin, that you're actively disregarding. Now, in a Twitter thread, she would just not respond to that woman and just stay focused on...
She would say, oh, this is muted. That's what she would say.
Yeah, yeah. She would mute it. She would ignore it. But now in this room and with everybody there, seeing this woman just challenge you, you can't just ignore her and keep talking to Melvin. You've got to respond to that. So then she was trying to say stuff like, well, you know, you've internalized misogyny, so you don't even realize how he's cutting you off.
He was cutting you off too.
And the woman's like...
It's the reverse psychology.
Yeah, she's like, so now you're infantilizing me? You went from saying listen to Black women to now gaslighting me? Isn't that what you said Melvin was doing to you? And you know, she had to leave. But
it was just like in our room, with some of the sisters spoke up later when all the hubbub had calmed down. And one sister was saying, I think it was Rabia.
Yeah.
And she was saying, like, none of this stuff happened until y'all got here.
Yeah.
Like, none of this beefing and all this going back and forth, Kenny wasn't tripping until y'all got here.
And she was like, there's been women in this room getting along fine until y'all got here.
Just, I mean, you know, this is what it really boils down to, Mario. And when you get on, you'll see this. It's easy to avoid the crazy people. And this is what I've been saying it on there for a while. And this is a great analogy. Clubhouse is like if you have a neighbor and you actually walk past their window and, you know, you see them outside. They seem like they cool and everything. But then one day you walk past their window and you look in and you see the husband beating the shit out of the girlfriend. They beating the kids. And this happens. You're like, well, you know, I don't want to get in nobody's business. So you'd be thinking like, maybe that was just something happened. Then a day later, you see him outside kicking it. Later on that day, you walk past the window. It's doing it again. It's like eavesdropping on crazy people. That's what Clubhouse is. You're basically eavesdropping on crazy people. You know what I'm saying? And they don't even know that they're crazy.
Yeah.
They just don't even see it. And it's unfortunate because, and T, you might be able to correct me on the numbers, but right now on Clubhouse, there's only 60,000 people on there, right?
That's what I heard, for sure.
Maybe a little more, but this is the sad thing. Black people only been on there for about 2 months and we already run over there being toxic as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's either ratchet cosplay where all we talking about is fucking and sucking and scamming or toxic shit like that. And that's the sad thing about it.
Let me add one more thing too. Like, this is relatively recent. Like, Kenny only joined a couple of days after I did, but I know people have been on there for a while, like black people. They were telling me, like, it was good for like a couple of months, they said, even with majority black people, but it's been gradually escalating where these people are kind of invading from Tumblr and Twitter and going over there and trying to make multiple threads a day about black men are trash, black men are trash, black men are the weakest links, and they're spreading that language. But to be fair, like, this is a minority of the stuff that Kenny and I have been doing over there. Like, most of the time, we had a whole day room yesterday. We were just talking about hip-hop and stuff. We were just talking about... and we had a great positive conversation. Today, I had a conversation with a bunch of people about... Prestige TV and, you know, like, are these new, like, highbrow TV shows overrated or not? And we had a really interesting conversation about that. We had one conversation with, like, over 200 people in it that was about, does Black Lives Matter still matter? And we were talking about the transparency of the money behind Black Lives Matter and what does the average black person still think about Black Lives Matter? Like, has it lost any type of its credibility with the average black person who's not like a blue check or online, you know? And people were dropping a lot of knowledge on that. Actual Black Lives Matter activists came in. People who used to fuck with Black Lives Matter but were done with it chimed in. We learned stuff that even we didn't know about all the fuckery that happens with Black Lives Matter. Yvette Carnell came in. Ashley Yates and Alexis, who are two like frontline Ferguson activists, came in the room. Alexis met Ashley Yvette Carnell met Ashley and Alexis for the first time. She never met them before and they connected, and it was a lot of different...
It's real productive.
Yeah, it was real productive. It was real productive in a way and that
people
Twitter
people got a chance to people got a chance to hash out things that they didn't know about each other. So there was a misconception about ADOS, and one thing that's why I rocks with Yvette. I rocks with Yvette for the simple fact that she even said that she understands that there's people that are calling themselves ADOS, but what they're doing is being real toxic.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And this is something that we talked about on the live stream when I got into with that dude John Thompson or whatever his name was. And it's like, dude, are you for the betterment and for the lineage and getting tangibles, or do you just want to talk about how much you hate Nigerians?
And it equipped itself much better, ADOS, on Clubhouse, because some of the trollier elements, you know, and Yvette's called them out on YouTube, some of the trollier elements of ADOS. Like Mario said, when a voice is attached, even if you're hiding your face and your name, I think it's harder to be trolly with your voice.
Yeah, it is. And just, I want to tell you guys, man, I wish Mario could be there. Hopefully it's opened up by then. But Nyjah from ADOS Atlanta, she has an interview locked in with Nate Parker that's going to be on Clubhouse. And she wants me, you, Andre, and a couple other people to be on stage.
Oh, nice, nice. Right now, one thing about people with Clubhouse and everything is that it doesn't get stored. It's if you miss it, you miss it.
You miss it, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to like see that with Nate Parker and everything, definitely become a patron at patreon.com/champagnesharks because we're sharing Clubhouse invites with the patrons, you know, in the Discord. Also, if you're already a patron, but you just haven't fucked with the Discord, try to get into the Discord. Reach out to us at champagnesharks@gmail.com or better yet, reach out to us via direct message in the Patreon app. That's actually better. Reach out to Champagne Sharks there and we'll see about getting you into the Discord and getting you an invite because that's the exact type of conversation and back and forth that I want to happen for sure.
Yeah.
And that we're going to have to moderate really heavy. Like,
So we already talked to her about that and I was like, so look, this is how you, because I said, I can already tell you who's going to try to show up and show out. I said, so what you do is you have your moderators and do not let anybody on that stage unless they have something productive to talk about. And once you let somebody up on the stage, they get their question, boot their ass right back to the audience. Don't just leave them up there.
Yeah.
You know, they might not like it, but fuck them. They'll get over it.
Yeah, because a lot of this is trial and error. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't know first off that you can mute people. So I was letting people talk too much. And I realized later I can mute people. The second thing is, even though you want to be fair, like I didn't want to be like them and let anyone who disagreed with me not let them on. Right. But what I was doing in overcompensating, to be fair, anybody who asked to get on stage, I would let them on. And once three or four people with septum rings got on, they were just all jumping on people in line and doing all this stuff, and I realized I just start moving people back into the audience. Like some people just aren't built for productive conversation, and if you put two or three of them in the space at once. So I think with Nate Parker, people that we don't know who might be wild cards, we have to let them in one, maybe two max at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just you can't let people in willy-nilly. Like a lot of it's going to be trial and error in general.
Gotcha.
Okay. But yeah, I think Mario, you flourish on there, man. Because I think that, man, fuck this, man. I'm going to steal an iPhone somewhere. Jailbreak that shit.
Man,
I'm going to send it.
Man, I got three iPhones and an iPad in here I got access to, man. It ain't, shit. You know, that ain't the thing.
Oh, you should
download that damn thing, man. I just don't want to fuck with the... I don't know.
Oh, damn.
I hate iPhone. You're just like, on principle, you just don't want to...
Oh, damn. So this is like a principle thing.
He's trying to hold out, though. He's trying to hold out.
He don't want
to... You know,
he doesn't want to touch an Apple product.
I'm seeing how y'all chopping it up about what's going on in the rooms and everything, and it's just like, God damn, you know, I want to get in on that, but I'm like, fuck, I gotta.
Bro, last night's conversation we had, I was walking to the store getting some Thai food, and we was talking about hip hop. We was doing these versus things, and we was doing like King T versus Paris. Then it was like Wu-Tang versus the Def Squad. Like,
oh, yeah. Man, Def Squad versus Hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
We went like for hours and all. And you know, it's cool. Like, Mario, you're into a lot of like science fiction and comics and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I want to make like a room about that, you know?
Right.
And if Mario was here, that would be like really good. You know what I'm saying?
Because you know what we could do? Because I think you were talking about it too with people in the book club, or we can do movie clubs. Like, if we started watching like Misery and everybody that's in the Discord come over to Clubhouse and we have a conversation about it.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Exactly. I hope it stays good when they open it up to everybody, but the curated space they have there now, I mean, even in the curated version, the more popular it gets, it's starting to decline with trolley topics and stuff. So they might have to enforce some new rules or something. But like normally, I don't like this kind of shit because I'm big into privacy. But in this case, I think I might see the benefit of it and like it. They might have to start doing something like the dating sites where you got to show a picture of your ID or something and show you're a real person.
Yeah.
If that's the price we got to pay to keep it positive and productive, I think it might be behind that because...
Do you remember yesterday? I created a room and said, why I hate the NBA.
Yeah.
And we were talking and then Don came in and she changed her profile picture to a white woman and said, she got that old Southern Belle accent. I just love that sweat glistening on them black bodies.
She was trolling.
I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh, man. Yeah, but yeah, you would definitely enjoy it, Mario. A lot of people would enjoy it. I'm going to have to like wrap this up soon because speaking of book club, we're about to go into the Discord book club. We're reading the book Settlers.
Wait. Before we close up, the Biden that recording. Was you going to play that?
Oh, I was, but you know what? I think we should save that for the live stream because... Okay. Yeah, I think it worked better on the live stream. So I think let's do a live stream tomorrow probably, and we'll do that. We'll do that there because that's such a can of worms. We can't just talk about that in 5 minutes at the end of a podcast. That's too good. There's too much meat on that
bone. Yeah, there was also, speaking of leaked transcripts and shit, there was something else that came out that's setting the net ablaze with some type of group chat came out with a bunch of white girls talking shit about black dudes.
Oh yeah, and that was that, too. That was fake. That was created by those divestors. That's kind of funny.
Oh, word. See, I kind of see. Damn it, that thought crossed my mind.
Look at the language. But somebody on Twitter already did their homework and saw a lot of common language. But yeah, there's a lot of holes in that story, and it's not true. It's a bunch of divestors. It's like when those incels create fake accounts of women saying, I only like men with money and men with muscle and big dicks, and I don't like nice guys who treat me well. And the language is pure incel language, and it's like, no woman talks with this incel language. They did the same thing. Like, they messed up and had the white girls talking like divestors, and they were using terms like featureism and colorism. And like, what white girl named Karen is talking about featureism and colorism and all this stuff? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
I'm gonna send you the links where the guys did the homework. We should talk about that on the live stream.
They can't even help. They can't even help but tell on themselves. They couldn't even just post the shit and go.
Yeah.
They had to.
Yeah.
They had to be all egghead about it.
Exactly. And they had to put all these gripes. You know, like why would white women care if a black man is colorist?
Yeah.
They're right. White. They're white. They're gonna win. You know, if
they don't give a fuck about that shit.
Yeah, they don't care about colorism. Like,
that was the reason why I had a conversation with someone that really did believe the Willie Lynch letter was real. So I didn't immediately just start going in. I'm like, man, it ain't real because this and this. And I was like, okay, well, if it's real, can you show me anywhere, any other time in history where white people cared about your skin color? So if you could show me that, and because the Willie Lynch letter was supposedly written in 1657 or 15, whatever year it was. First of all, the language in the letter doesn't even match up the way people talk back then. But I said, if you could show me another document where white people are talking about skin color, I said, you know, there's an extensive document, Thomas Jefferson's letters to Virginia. He doesn't even talk about skin color.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He talks about other features that black people have. Like, he didn't believe that black people had the ability to sweat, the ability to grow facial hair. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't. There was a lot of things he was peculiar about. He thought black people were peculiar in the way we reacted because he figured that we would have died off, because who could work from sun up to sun up and still have time to have a good time amongst themselves, singing, dancing, cooking. He couldn't understand how black people was able to do that. But never once did skin color come up.
Yep.
Right.
Let's wrap this up. And also, everybody, go to champagnesharks.com, and all our links are there for the merchandise, for the YouTube, for the Patreon. All right, guys, as usual, thanks for joining, and let's do a live stream tomorrow and talk about this Biden thing. That's hilarious in and of itself.
All right.
You're good.
Peace.